Open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians, chapter number 3. Going to get back into this series for the new year that we're doing in the month of January. And it's a series from Philippians, chapter 3. So please turn there in your Bibles today. Philippians 3. I don't know if you've ever, back when you were in school or maybe elementary school field day or sometime, someplace, you've probably participated in a 50-yard dash or 100-yard dash, or I guess nowadays they say 50 meters or 100 meters. That's a pretty common experience for most people. And certainly I can think of some times in my life when I ran one of those type of races. And then also working with young people over the years, I've watched young people run these races many times, and maybe you've seen them on the Olympics or something like that. And so if you know, if you've ever watched one of these races, a 50-meter dash or a 100-meter dash, or you've participated in one yourself, I think you can make some interesting observations. And so one of the things that you can observe is that sometimes it is surprising who is the fastest person in the race. I mean, sometimes it's the person that you would not have expected to be competitive that surprises everyone else. Another thing that you'll see is that sometimes there are some people who start strong, but then they sort of fade out towards the finish, and yet there are others who maybe don't really seem to put on that extra burst of speed until maybe midway through the race, and then they come on strong toward the end. And then in those last few paces, those who are contending to win, those who are competitive in the race will stretch out for that very last bit of speed, that very last bit of an advantage. And that's really when you see their hearts trying to stretch out for the win. And then another thing that you can say about a 50-meter dash or 100 meters is it's over quickly, but it's not over until it's over. And you know, I think there are several similarities there to the Christian life. You know, the Christian life is over quickly, but it's not over until it's over. You know, sometimes it's interesting that some people start out slow in the Christian life, but then they sort of put on a burst of speed and they gain speed throughout the race, finish strong. Others maybe fade out toward the end. It is surprising sometimes who runs well in the Christian life. As the Lord Jesus said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. And when we get to the end of the race, we might be surprised to see who it is that finish strong. And I think that when we think about the Christian life and the prize that the Lord Jesus has talked about in His Word, wanting to win should make us stretch out with every ounce of effort toward that prize. Folks, that's where our hearts are revealed in how we run the race. And so this morning we're returning to Paul's comparison of the Christian life to the journey of an athlete who is running a foot race. And last week we saw from Philippians chapter 3 that Paul described the way he ran his race with three action words that put together tell us the believer's proper relationship to the past, the present, and the future. Now, first of all, what Paul did not do is he did not count himself to have apprehended. That means he didn't think his race was over. He didn't think he had already arrived. He didn't think he was already perfect. But he did not allow himself to become discouraged that he had not already arrived. But rather, he allowed that simple fact that he was still a runner in the race to motivate him to press ahead in his race and run hard and finish strong. And so what he did do is he pressed. And that word is a present tense, ongoing expression for a way of life. Paul said, I am pressing at all times. And also in verse 13, he said that while he was pressing, he was forgetting and reaching. And there you have the past, the present, and the future, and the believer's proper relationship to all three. The right way to run the race of the Christian life in the style of Paul is, first of all, to forget the things behind, the looking back things, the turning around things. Secondly, it is to be reaching forth to the things that are before, those future things, and in the present, where the race is being run, it is to press, to be pressing at all times, step by step by step. Now, last week, we just talked about the believer's proper relationship to the past. I thought we needed to spend some time on that. And we learned that there are at least four categories of things behind us that we all need to forget about in the proper way to be good runners in the present in the race that God has put us in. We need to be forgetting our past life before we were saved, our past failings and defeats as Christians, our past difficulties and disappointments, and our past accomplishments and blessings so that we can press ahead to new and fresh blessings. And folks, forgetting the things that are behind us is extremely important in the race, because a failure to properly turn away from those past things, those behind us things, those looking back things, can become a great big weight, slowing us down in the present. And sadly, I can tell you that there are many believers at this moment who are being greatly hindered in the race that God has put them in by dwelling upon past disappointments and past hurts and past bitternesses and past defeats and past offenses and past conflicts. And they're focusing on those things still, and they have never run well since. And folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to forget the things behind us and get back in the race. And so now today, I want us to talk about our proper relationship to the present and the future. And we're going to go back here into our passage, Philippians 2, verses 13 and 14. I'm adding another verse into it today, verse 15 as well. I have 3 points for you. Let's read these three verses, okay? The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." All right, so I have 3 points for you this morning from the passage. First of all, I want us to talk about our future prize. And first, the location of our prize. Where is this prize located? Paul tells us that it is in front of us. Those things which are before is literally the in front of things, and it refers to everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind and in store for you in the future. That includes winning more of Christ and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ right here in this life, as well as winning all of Christ and being perfected in Christ in the life to come. All of those things that are before you are the things of Christ, okay? In other words, these things that are in front of us are the opposite of the things behind us, and they call for the opposite response. The things that are in front of us, we are supposed to be turning toward. We turn toward those things, not away from them. We focus on those things, not forget them. And we reach out for those things instead of running away from them. But really, forgetting and reaching forth are two sides of the same coin. Because the main way you forget is to focus and reach ahead. I like what Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary on this passage about what it means to forget, the proper way to forget the things behind. He said, it simply means that we break the power of the past by living for the future. So the right way to forget is to reach forth to those future things. Reaching forth, like Paul said there in verse number 13, means to stretch out, to grab a hold of something, to lean forward, to seize a prize. And really, it's a great picture of a runner straining forward with his or her body, with every ounce of effort, to be the first one to break the tape at the finish line. That's what it means, reach forth. So that tells us that even though the pressing believer does not live in the future, he is thinking about the future, ever mindful of the future, and is striving toward that future goal. You know, so often we like to sit around idly daydreaming about the future, and sometimes we use the future as an excuse to do nothing in the present. We say things like, well, you know, maybe someday in the future I'll finally get victory over that sin. Or someday in the future I'll get right with God. You know, someday in the future I'll get serious about serving God. Someday in the future I'll do what I know God wants me to do. Someday in the future I'll answer God's call. But Paul was not talking in this passage about waiting around for the future to find us. He was talking about reaching out for the future right now. And so I want to make a statement here, and in fact I put it up on the slide. Sorry, I forgot to advance my slide there. Here's the statement, and I really want you to meditate on this, okay? The right focus on the future always impacts our conduct in the present. The right focus on the future always impacts our conduct in the present. It motivates us to get busy now and to press on and run better and faster and more eagerly. It causes us to strain forward with every fiber of our being. And so how can we very practically implement what Paul was describing here in this passage about reaching forth to the things that are before us? Well, I'd like to suggest one of the best ways to reach forth is to focus on and to prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. That is a future event. But the right focus on that future event will impact our conduct in the present. Because, folks, we have a powerful motivation for running our race. You are not running the race of the Christian life to get a little blue ribbon at school field day. You are running like a finish line, unlike any other on this earth, where the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is waiting for us, and He has a victor's crown in His hand. And so the location of our prize is in front of us. It is ahead of us, and we are running toward that prize. But then secondly, the description of our prize is found in verse number 14. Would you look at it again? Paul said, I press toward, or literally down upon the mark, like a runner putting on an extra burst of speed as he sees the finish line ahead of him. He puts some extra into the race. He presses down toward that mark, that finish line. And that mark is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling is literally the calling that calls us high, up, okay? It is the upward calling, the upward invitation of God. Folks, that's the day that we are called upward. It is that day of the out-resurrection from the dead that Paul described back in verse number 11 that he was striving to attain. It is also the day of the rapture for living believers when Christ calls us upward in a great shout to meet Him in the air and to stand before Him at His judgment seat to receive rewards for the things done in this body. It is the day when we receive all of Christ and we are perfected in Him. You know, sometimes I've heard Christians talk about the fact, you know, well, I'm not waiting for the undertaker, I'm waiting for the upper taker. You ever heard that saying before? You know, that's really pretty biblical. It really comes right out of this passage, because what this verse says is there is an upper taker. And one day He is going to take us upward. He is going to invite us upward. He is going to call us upward to meet Him in the air. So on the day of the upward calling, believer, let me ask you, will you be summoned to the winner's stand to receive a crown? Well, the Bible tells us there are crowns to be won in the Christian life, but there are also crowns to be lost. There is reward and loss of reward at the judgment seat. The word prize in verse number 14 is a word that refers to a wreath or a garland that was used to crown a winner in the games, some kind of public games. And it refers in the context of this passage, first and foremost, to the prize of the resurrection that Paul was pressing for every day of his life. But it also reminds us that there are prizes, there are crowns awaiting and to be won after the resurrection at the judgment seat. But if you want to make your way into that winner's circle, then you need to press on right now for Christ. Folks, there is a future prize. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is our prize. As Paul said, I am winning Christ. But He has promised us the upward calling of the day of the resurrection and the rapture of believers when we will stand before the Lord and then when we'll go to His judgment seat. And believer, I want to encourage you today to think about and focus on that day when you will stand before the Lord, because it will affect the way you live your life in the present. That is the right way to reach forth to the things that are before. But now I think we want to talk about the believer's proper attitude toward the present, okay? So we looked at the future prize. We've talked about the past, the things behind us. We're forgetting those things. We're reaching forth. We're focusing on the things that are before us. And right now, in verse number 14, we finally make our way back to the main action word of the passage. Paul says, I press. First two words there of verse number 14. This is where we live and run, in the present. The glorious future that we look forward to in Christ is no excuse to be idle, to do nothing in the present. We're not waiting around for the future to find us. We are reaching forward and striving toward that future goal. The way to seize the prize in your hand is to run well in the present. The present pressing. You know, I've been meditating on that simple expression for several weeks. The present pressing. And really, I think that that is a great description of how we should live in 2021. Folks, we are called to a present pressing, like Paul. That's the way he ran his Christian race. And so what does it look like to press? Well, I want to develop Paul's analogy of a runner in a race here, if I might, a little bit. And so I want to suggest this morning that running well in the present will require four things. First of all, you got to have good traction. You have to have good traction, because you can't run well if your feet are not firmly in contact with the ground. If they're slipping and sliding around, it's going to be hard to run. If you've ever tried to run on ice, you know that it's not an easy thing to do, unless you're wearing ice skates. Pressing in the present requires you to press down firmly with your feet on the racetrack beneath you. You know, if you watch a runner in slow motion, you would see there's a tremendous amount of force being exerted through the legs and down to the feet to propel that runner forward in the race. And just imagine what would happen if you were watching a group of Olympic runners in the 100-meter dash, and suddenly one of them, as he is running with everything that he has, all the focus, all the preparation, all the training, all of that, and he's putting 100% of his body into the race, 100% of his heart and his spirit in the race, and he hits a patch of ice. What would happen? That wouldn't be pretty. That'd be a disaster. He'd probably be injured, right? So you have to have good traction. And in the same way, running well for Christ requires us to have some good traction. I'm talking about a secure attachment to the foundation that God has given to us, which is God's Word. We have to have a secure attachment to our foundation of God's Word. And the way we attach ourselves to that foundation is by faith. It is by faith in God's Word, in His promises, in His love, in His goodness, in His faithfulness. Folks, we live the Christian life by faith. And as we learned last year, we were studying Hebrews 12. We run the Christian race by faith as well. Folks, that's what Hebrews 11 tells us. It tells us about those heroes of faith and how they ran their race. And they all ran by faith. And therefore, that's how we run as well, if we're going to finish like they finished. Faith is how we propel ourselves forward in the race that God has given to us. It's how we are attached to the foundation and we propel ourselves forward in the will of God and in obedience to God upon the foundation that He has given to us. We have to have the good traction of faith. And this is one reason why dealing properly with the past is so important. Because a fixation on our past failings tends to undermine our present faith. Focusing on the past leads to self-doubt. Being preoccupied with the past leads to discouragement, to self-focus. Eventually, it will lead you to unbelief. And you're going to be slipping and sliding around in your race. You know, God never told us to look to ourselves in the race of the Christian life. You know, I'm afraid that's the way many of us as believers, we spend a lot of time looking to ourselves. We spend a lot of time, to be quite frank, trusting in ourselves instead of looking to Jesus. So we have to forget the things behind and stop meditating and focusing on ourselves so that we can look to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and He is ahead of us. So we have to have the good traction of faith. We have to run by faith. That means what you know of the Bible, what God has given to you in His Word, you build your life upon this foundation and you propel yourself forward in the will of God by faith, doing what God has said to do. Just like every one of those people in Hebrews 11, the Bible says over and over again, by faith, so-and-so did something. They move forward in obedience to God, on faith. And that's how they ran their race. And so if we're going to press in the present, we press by faith. We have to have good traction. Secondly, there needs to be focused attention. Focused attention to help us to eliminate the distractions. Because there are many other things competing for our focus and competing for our attention in the year of 2021. Can you think about a few things that might be calling for your focus and your attention in 2020? Have there been some things happening in this world of late that could be distractions to you in the race of the Christian life? Things that maybe could preoccupy your attention unduly and cause you to run less well for Christ? Folks, there's a lot of things like that right now. But the prize that we are running to win is not an earthly prize. It is not a material prize. It is not a political prize. It is not a temporal prize at all. Folks, we are running past those things, and we are running for an eternal prize. We are running for a heavenly prize. We are running for the day of the upward calling in Jesus Christ. And so we have to stay laser focused on that upward calling of God. That is the moment that you are running for. Our first attention has to be on winning Christ and revealing Him to the world around us. That's what God has called us to in this present age. That's what it means to run. You got to have a focused attention. There are lots of other things that you could set your sights on as your goal in life and completely miss that mark. So you have to eliminate the distractions and keep your eye on looking to Jesus. That's where you're running. And eternal things are what should receive our greatest effort. Now, third, we're going to need personal discipline. We're going to need personal discipline. If you're going to run a race well, you got to have some personal discipline. I think we need some continuing and consistent attention, first of all, to the spiritual disciplines. If you want to be a good runner in the race, you have to have continuing and consistent attention to the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. What are those things? What are the spiritual disciplines? Well, typically we'd say, first of all, consistent daily time in God's Word. Okay? If you're following Jesus, if you're following after Christ, like Paul says in this passage, how are you going to follow Him if you're never hearing from Him? You got to be hearing from Him regularly. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me." So we have to be consistent, and we have to have continuing attention to the spiritual discipline of being in the Word of God, hearing the voice of the Lord in the Word, allowing Him to direct our steps day by day by day. Prayer is one of the essential and indispensable disciplines of the Christian life. We cannot be prayerless people in 2021. We should be renewing our focus on prayer. We should be renewing our attention and discipline to the matter of practicing, prevailing, persisting prayer. Participation in local church is one of the essential spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Like those disciples in Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' fellowship and doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's how the race is run, okay? As a matter of fact, next week we're going to be talking about paying attention in the race, paying attention to the other runners around us in the race. That's in this passage as well. Folks, you're not the only person in the race. And so that's another one of the essential spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Sharing our faith. These are the things that, you know, putting on the armor of God and being prepared to engage in the spiritual warfare on the side of Christ in this world, we have to be focused on the spiritual disciplines, and we have to be consistent in their application. That's part of how you propel yourself forward by faith. I also think that we have to have continuing, consistent attention to physical disciplines as well. Physical disciplines. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about that. You know, he had to bring his body into subjection so that he could run well in the race. So as I've been meditating on that point, that's a little bit convicting at this point for me. And I think that in general, that for a lot of us, because of the unusual way things have been over the last few months, I think a lot of us probably have gotten into some pretty bad habits in terms of the physical disciplines of good diet and good exercise and things like that that really do make a difference in how well we run our race and whether we finish strong. That's been something that I've been meditating on. It's been convicting to me as I've been studying this passage, that we've done a lot of sitting around the house over the last few months, over this last year. We made a lot of trips to the freezer for bowls of ice cream and stuff. I mean, at least I did. I don't know about you, okay? But I mean, we're just being honest here, right? Okay? Being transparent. So it's time for us to be applying some appropriate physical disciplines to our lives so that we can run well. I think that for a lot of us, we have allowed just a general laziness to creep over us in our application to having our feet pressing down firmly on the racetrack that God has given to us. I just think it's all too easy to kind of have a laid-back mentality right now to spiritual things. That's not a good place to be. And that's why I think it's very important for us in 2021 that we are focusing on the present pressing. And if you could just grab a hold of that phrase and let that sink down into your heart, it'll make a difference for you this year. The present pressing. That's what we need. We need personal discipline. Finally, there's strenuous exertion. There's strenuous exertion. Above all, the word press in verse number 14 there is a word that describes exertion, the application of effort. A race is about exertion. As I said before a couple of Sundays ago, God's plan, His will, is that you take an active role in your own sanctification by striving to implement obedience to the Word of God in your life to the best of your ability. It's going to take exertion. It's going to take effort to maintain those practical disciplines that I was talking about a moment ago. It's going to take some effort, some exertion to overcome obstacles that lie in your way. And how often is it that we see a little mountain in the path and we just don't make the effort to overcome it? But folks, that's what the Christian life is. It is an overcoming. It is a climbing of the mountains. It is an overcoming of the obstacles by the grace of God and for the glory of God. So mark it down that your race is going to require exertion. The race that we are in is a strenuous one. You're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to find some heart for the race. And above all, you're going to need the grace and the strength of God to run strong and to overcome. And that's one reason I'm burdened today to encourage people to forget the past. Forget the failings and the disappointments and the defeats and the people that did you wrong and give that to God and run ahead for Christ. Overcome by the grace of God. Let me ask you, are you pressing in the present to win the future prize? That's an application question. Are you pressing in the present? And if not, what are you waiting for? Have you been telling yourself, one of these days I'll get around to it? So, folks, we don't want to wait for victory or fruitfulness or growth or God's power in our life or a closer walk with God. Don't wait to serve God. Don't wait to do God's will. Just stretch out for those things now. Grasp them now, win them now, press ahead for it now, run now, labor now, strive now, sweat now, agonize now, pursue now, in the present. Don't look back with pride on how well you used to run. Sometimes we do that, don't we? Oh man, I used to be a good runner. It's not about how you ran back there. Don't tell yourself about how you're going to run well one day in the future either. That's just a deception. You're just playing games with yourself. No. The one thing that matters in your Christian life is how you are running right now. The Christian life is a pressing in the present. One more point for you today. I want us to look at verse 15, our personal pursuit. Our personal pursuit. Verse 15 really makes the perfect invitation to this message. Would you look at verse 15? Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." All right, so the word perfect there does not mean sinlessly perfect. I mean, we've learned this from the passage. Even Paul did not count himself to be sinlessly perfect. It means that you're positionally perfect in the righteousness of Christ and that you are headed for complete perfection on the day of the resurrection. In other words, if you're saved and if you're on your way to heaven, then live and run like Paul. Have the same mind as Paul. Run with Paul's forgetting, with his future focus, with his present effort, one step after another, reaching forth to win the all of Christ that he has in mind and in store for you. And then Paul said in verse 15, basically, to paraphrase, if you're not sure whether you're doing it right, just ask God and he'll tell you. Because he's our running coach who helps us to perfect our running technique. If you really want to know how to do better, God will show you. He'll show you where you're living in the past. He'll show you where you're being lazy in the present. And he'll show you where you've lost sight of the future glory. So, believer, will you let him reveal these things to you now? You know, maybe he's been wanting to show you the problem for a long time, but you just haven't asked him. You haven't been listening. You haven't been seeking him out. So ask him right now. And when he shows you, make the changes so you can run better. Now, before I close the message today, I would like to close it with an object lesson, since a picture, as they say, is worth a thousand words. So I've asked a couple young men to help me with this today. So with those young men who volunteered so graciously upon my request, just come on up here to the platform, please. I appreciate that. And Joshua, if you would just kind of stand over there on that part of the platform, and Justin, if you'll just take your place over here. Okay, so I've seen both these guys run. These are fast runners right here, athletic young men, and I'm going to ask them to illustrate for us the right running form for the Christian life. Okay, the forgetting and the reaching and the pressing. So I want you guys to assume a pose, kind of like a snapshot of a runner in the middle of a race. Okay, so you're going to be a freeze frame of a runner in the race here. And you are going to show us what the Christian life ought to look like. Okay? And let me give you a big clue, okay? The past is over there, and the future is over there, okay? So just so we know, all right, the past is over there, and the future is over there. So I want you to show me a pose now. Show me the right effort and determination and focus and direction. Let's see how they do, okay? Just show me what you can do. All right. What do you think? Is he headed the right direction here? His head is turned in the right direction? I'd like to see you looking up toward the prize just a little bit more there. All right, there you go. His feet are firmly in contact with the ground. That's good. And he's reaching forth. I like that. That's great. That's good. All right, Joshua, how you doing over here? Is he headed the right direction? Is he straining toward the goal? His body is moving forward. Very good. What do y'all think? Did they do a good job? Yes, they did. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your freeze frame there for us today. All right. So if somebody were to take a spiritual snapshot of your Christian life in the here and now, would it look like those two guys or something else? You know, I could have asked them to model the wrong thing, right? here's what it shouldn't look like. Okay? I mean, there's lots of things that we could model that would be wrong, but I'm asking you, they gave us a great example. That's how Paul lived his life every single day. He was forgetting, he was reaching, and in the present, he was pressing. And right there, you have the way every believer should be properly relating to the past, the present, and the future. The future's not here yet, but it's coming, and we're reaching out for it. And the past is the past. It's behind us, and we need to move ahead. And the Christian life is run in the present. We don't stand still. We don't sit idle. We need to remember that now is what really counts in the Christian life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And I'm going to, in a moment, ask the piano to begin playing number 291, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Now, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the message today was addressed to believers, those who are in the race of faith. I want to encourage you, believer, right now, would you assess your own attitude toward the past, the present, and the future? And first of all, the past. You know, if you ask God to reveal it to you, I believe He'll show you, and He's probably already shown you where you're tempted to live in the past in an improper way. So are you ready to forget and turn around and run ahead? It is an act of will, plain and simple, to forget the things that are behind. God wouldn't ask you to do it if you couldn't do it with His help and grace. Take His grace to move forward and don't look back. Like the writer of Hebrews says, let the lame place be healed. So it doesn't get turned the way. Run hard, run strong. How about the future? Are you tempted to live in the future? Have you been salving your conscience with all kinds of notions about what you plan to do for God in the future as an excuse to do nothing in the present? That's just a kind of self-deception. Like James says, those that hear the word and don't do it are deceiving themselves. And then how about that present? Are you pressing every day following after Christ? Or if you were honest, would you have to say that lately you've been treading water, taking a break, standing still, dropping out, slacking off, turning back, being lazy, or sleeping by the side of the road? See, Paul said, if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So would you just let him do that right now? I'm going to ask the piano to begin playing. Would you just take some time right now in the quietness of this moment to have a heart-to-heart with the Lord? Would you let him show you where you were otherwise minded from Paul? What needs to change in the way you're running your race? It's also possible that there's a person here today who's not yet in the race of the Christian life. Because you're not yet saved, and you can't say like Paul that winning Christ is what your life is about. Let me just explain for a moment, my friend, who Jesus Christ is. This all-important person is none other than God the Son. He came to this earth, became a man, so that he could seek and save lost sinners like you and me. And he's that good shepherd. He cares for every one of the sheep. And he cares about you. He had you on his mind when he came.